Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning once again, and welcome to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jenna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself. And we've got another show, another good one for you today. By the way, a book that the foreword was written by the Dalai Lama.
Gosh, you know you made it when the foreword to your book was written by the Dalai Lama.
Exactly.
You know how many forewords the Dalai Lama probably writes?
At least two. A year, I'm sure.
He hasn't written one for me yet.
And you know what just happened? See, something blasphemous just happened because I was knocking the Dalai Lama and now I have no sound in my headphones. Do you think it was like him talking to God and God was like, I'll take care of this?
I don't know. He's got a direct line, I would think. You know,
I can make fun of the Dalai Lama if I want to.
He gave you that permission?
Yeah.
You know him, right? You got his number. You give him a buzz. Hey, Dolly, dude.
Yeah. Every time I meditate, I think about him. Oh, wait, I don't meditate. That's right.
Well, no, I'm curious. So probably I should probably know this, but he has a title. But what's his name? It's His Holiness the Dalai Lama. But I wonder what his name is.
Dolly, and his last name is Lama.
But then why is it preceded by the?
Well, because there's only one of him.
But, oh, well, what are you, like the Jenna? And you're the Frankenberry.
The Carol and the Frankenberry. And the Facebook and the marijuana.
Well, no, the Dalai Lama is just the latest that takes over that particular position, correct?
It was not, like the Pope?
Yes.
That's what it's like. Yeah, well, but the Pope is, you know, Pope Francis. Pope John Paul.
Right, this just
so
happens
maybe his
to be...
Name maybe Lama.
Right.
His name's Lama.
No, I think his name is probably like, you know... Ken.
You know what? thanks to the Google, I'm going to find
Google.
Out.
And do you have the reading glasses on, too?
I do. What is the Dalai Lama's
right now, somebody's listening going, I know the answer.
Name.
They're yelling it like we,
yeah,
can, they're, we
yeah,
can't
exactly.
hear you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, they're probably yelling at us like they do every week.
You know who I know that knows the answer?
Whatever silly stuff we're talking about.
I know
who
the
knows
answer?
The answer to all questions in the show?
Me.
Mama Chewy.
Oh, that is correct. Yes.
Right? She's a little...
Well, I got the answer
right
here.
What'd you find?
Okay, what'd you got?
He is the 14th Dalai Lama, and his name is...
It's not Ken?
No.
Don't make fun of him. Bernard.
No. His name is Lamo Thondup.
Oh.
Okay.
Nobody guessed it.
Who knew?
Who knew? Lamo. So if I meet him in person, I'm going to go, yo... Lamo, what up, Thondup?
But it's his friends.
Yeah, that's exactly how it will go down.
But his friends call him Ken.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, well, you know, when they want to watch, you know, soccer on the weekends, hey, they call him, yo, Ken, come on over.
Ken, bring the popcorn and the beer.
And some luck.
Lamo Thondup. Can't wait till I'm on Jeopardy. That's probably going to get me the Daily Double.
I got to tell you, I think... I am so not a factual, trivial person.
Oh, God.
I would suck.
I know.
At Jeopardy. First of all, I would forget to ask the question.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be buzzing in, and I would just state the answer without asking it like a question.
And then you don't... What do they make you do? Do they make you say it over, or do you lose your turn
no,
if you
No, you have
do
to
that?
Say that. You just have to say... The answer is this, and you have to say, what is?
But if you don't say what is, what do they do to you?
The person can, if you're not quick enough, I think, can buzz in.
Okay.
So generally what you do, at least is what we used to do, when you couldn't handle Jeopardy, you don't get upset. You just wait 20 minutes because then the Wheel of Fortune comes on.
I like the Wheel of Fortune.
Right. See, and we can all handle the Wheel of Fortune.
Well, speaking of Wheel of Fortune, what game show do you think you would do best at? Keeping in mind being under pressure, being on television, having to think, like, it's all fun and games when you're playing from your living room, right? You get to pause it, think about it. You don't get to do that in real life. What game show do you think you would knock out of the park if you had a chance? Curly.
Newlywed Game.
That's like the dumbest game ever invented. But you probably would do very well at that. Frankenberry, what's your game show game?
Well, actually, my favorite game show of all time is one that nobody remembers.
I
tried to explain it to people, and they still don't remember it. But anyway, I loved the maze game. I used to look forward to watching that when I came home from school as a kid. It was a game where it was a partner, and there was a big maze, and you stood on a platform overlooking the maze, and you had to direct your partner through the maze in a certain amount of time, but you had to direct them to big buttons, and the buttons were prizes. And
I don't remember that at all.
Had to hit as many buttons as you can, but they had to get through the maze before the time ran out. But anyway, I would probably go on Family Feud.
That would be a fun game. All right, Family Feud. Oh, so you think you'd do well at
Family
Feud.
I think I could do okay on Family Feud, yeah.
Because you got your finger on the pulse.
Here's the problem with Family Feud, though. They have a rule that nobody ever fought. Like, it says, do you want to play or pass when somebody gets the first question right? Nobody has ever said, I'll pass it to the other team. Nobody. So why don't they change that rule? Because it irritates me that they even have it when nobody takes advantage of it.
I don't know, but...
And it's kind of like a dumb rule. Just like when they finally changed the rule in Wheel of Fortune, where now they automatically give you RSTLN... And E?
And what?
They do. I wasn't aware of that. I mean, it's not like, believe me, the last time I watched a game show, I couldn't tell you. So, but I didn't know they changed the rule.
What was the one where the celebrities would sit?
Pyramid.
$100,000 pyramid. How did you know?
Like, because that's my game. That's the one that I would be really good at.
I think I would be too. And then the other one that I used to have fun watching was the Hollywood Squares.
Oh, I love the Hollywood Squares.
Oh yeah, but that was a little silly.
But it depended on which Hollywood personality was on the show.
Right.
Who was going to make, like, Richard Dawson? If you had was Richard Dawson
the
host?
He was the host.
He was the host, but it was always I'm trying to think of
who was in the Squares.
Yeah, I can't remember now.
Charles Nelson Reiley.
Yes, Charles Nelson Reiley.
Phyllis Diller,
was the
best. Wasn't she in there a lot?
And Phyllis Diller.
And you would catch Charles Nelson Reiley on the Match Game too, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't it be fun to do a version of that with all the people we know?
Oh my God,
you'd be hilarious.
Like a little game night. Oh my God, that would be fun.
So, what's your show?
Well, she just
pyramid.
Said
the pyramid. It is the pyramid.
That's the one I'd be good at. But I want to give the clues. I don't think I want to get the clues. I think I'd be better at giving them.
Totally.
Although both sides would be fun, I think.
Only if they gave extra points for creative answers that were wrong.
In our version. Oh, my God.
Well, wrong is a relative term, well, according to Jonna.
Oh, exactly my point. Ruh-ruh. Like, she would want to get points for being creative, even though it wasn't the answer they were looking for.
Exactly. And if I were giving clues that were creative and the other person couldn't guess them...
Oh, they would have to keep you at a distance where you couldn't poke their eye out.
I'd have to be strapped into the chair.
And that's when you would add a new rule to this particular Jonna version of the game, where it becomes a contact sport. As well.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, you're allowed to tackle them if they don't get what you're trying to get them to get within, say, three questions.
Or you get to hit them with a styrofoam like bat.
No. What are you going with styrofoam for?
Well,
I'm thinking like a long wooden stick.
No, that might hurt a little worse. Like, yeah. You know, a cushiony, like the thing they used on Seinfeld that one time when you got to take out your aggression by like basically pillow fighting with your partner. Like, get it out.
You know what else you'd be good at?
What?
You'd be funny at the dating game. Except you would be like, I pick no one. I pick none of the above.
None
now,
of them.
Now what do we do?
You all stink. Not happening. Don't make me go. That would be funny. That's like my worst nightmare, having to go on a date with one of those people.
When I was kids, my next door neighbor and I would sit there through the show. We would take turns and we would have our back to the TV, so when it was your turn, you couldn't see what they looked like. So right. You were actually following what the interviewer, the person that was going to pick the person, was doing without knowing what they looked like. And one time...
At band camp?
I picked Sam Kinison.
No.
I'm almost positive it was Sam Kinison.
Oh,
if
what
not,
a couple,
it was somebody,
what a couple that would have made.
Because I was like, oh my God, this guy's really funny. And I turned around like,
funny.
Oh. Not so much.
Somebody famous and very handsome was on that show, like John Hamm, I think, was on that show.
It was John Hamm.
Isn't that his name?
Mad Men.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Super cute. He's like super duper cute.
And super tall, and he also has a particular reputation for being advantaged.
Oh.
What?
Why you got to tell her that?
I'm just giving you the... No, what? I won't even
Bradley
say...
Cooper?
Giving. I'm not even going to say giving you the heads up, because that could be taken the wrong way.
Where did you hear that?
In
a locker room.
Yeah, in a locker room. Like a bunch of guys are in a locker room talking about that. No, I read a story, and it was a while ago. But I've just heard that.
Oh, look
That's
at the
all.
Wheels are turning.
I'm going to Google that.
Speaking of Google, your cousin posted something on Facebook and mentioned you, but she didn't tag you properly. So I'm not sure you saw the post.
I didn't see the post, but the fact that you said somebody posted and didn't tag me properly, that means it was Lisa.
Yes.
Aha! How'd I know?
Because she still hasn't figured the tagging out.
Exactly. She has not figured that out. She's only been
Trouble
on
Trouble in Paradise.
Why? Who? What? Uh-oh.
Yes.
Bradley Cooper?
Yes.
Getting divorced?
Maybe. Splitting up.
You guys finish. You're good.
Yeah. Now's your chance.
Maybe he needs a lawyer.
Maybe that's what he needs.
And by lawyer, I mean lover.
Lawyer.
No, we're not allowed to do that for 2 years. Did you know there's a rule that you can't date a client?
That makes
matrimonial
sense.
Matrimonial client until you've not represented that person for at least 2 years.
That makes
Unless
sense.
Unless you were having sex before that person became a client, then you can.
Seriously. Now, you were part of like the husband cheating on the wife while they were married, then it's okay.
Yeah. Basically.
Wait, now when you say, do you say rule or law?
Law, probably. Well, I mean, probably an ethics.
It's an ethical rule.
Oh, an ethical rule. All right. So it can be broken.
It's not a felt. No, well, it can't be broken if you like your license to practice.
It's a law ethics violation where they can disbar you.
Yes. You can get in trouble as a lawyer for that. You're not going to get arrested.
You're not going to go to jail or anything, but you're not going to
All right. So it is more of a hard, steadfast kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty big and important.
All right, so then you don't want to be his lawyer.
No.
Unless, of course, you can convince him to be your lover before he asks you to be his lawyer.
So the rumor is, with Bradley Cooper, that there's been trouble for a little while, but with the release of A Star Is Born...
Oh, I knew it!
They didn't want to detract from like the movie and the attention that was getting. So this is what... quote unquote the source.
Now
says.
The story doesn't go on to say that there was something going on between him and Gaga.
There has to be.
The story did not say that.
That is the trouble. Their chemistry was so amazing that it couldn't be fake chemistry. Well,
I kind of agree with that.
That I couldn't tell you because I have not seen the film.
Yeah. And you want to
Yeah, but even their performances shortly after together in public.
Yeah, like on the music, some music
Grammy
awards
or
stuff.
Something.
Yeah. They're amazing actors and actresses if they can actually fake what they were displaying.
So it's a Brad Pitt, Angelina kind of thing.
Even
when
more.
They did Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I think was the movie.
Right. When they fell in love. This is even more. And I would not be surprised if, and it must happen all the time, you guys. Seriously. With people, when you do have a little bit of chemistry and you're acting, you're being paid to fall in love with somebody for 16 hours a day, it's bound to happen.
It's got
to
rub off on you.
Yeah. Speaking of rubbing off. I have no.
No, there's no.
Signing off, maybe?
In more ways than one, there is no segue at all.
No, there's
from
not.
What
that
you
that
just
is
going to
be okay.
But here's the problem. We don't even have a clock going, so I don't know how long we've been talking.
No,
so
I think
far.
We're good.
I think
time
we're fine. Yes. We can get to the Dalai Lama's.
Yeah. So our next guest, as we mentioned at the start of the show, has the foreword to her book written by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Mm-hmm. So, she's got connections. And this is a topic that I am relatively newly aware of from personal experience and very passionate about. So coming up, we have Randy Turan. She is the founder of Project Happiness, and she has written a brand new book called Emotional Advantage, Embracing All Your Feelings to Create a Life You Love. We are so conditioned to think you're supposed to be happy all the time. You're supposed to be up. You're never supposed to be stressed. It's not okay if you're angry or sad. Like, do away with those. And she's coming at it saying, they all serve us somehow. Stop fighting against them and use them to your advantage. So when we come back, we will have Randy Turan, author of Emotional Advantage.
All right, that is on the way. You've got Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. And we'll be back with our guest in just a few. Hang with us. It's K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we're back again here with Happy Hour with Jonna Spielborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. And it's time now to get to our guest. We are going to be speaking with Randy Turan and about her brand new book.
I love this topic. When the PR person's email came across my desk, I was immediately like, I want to talk to her. I love this topic. We have on the line with us Randy Turan. She is the founder and CEO of the global organization, get this, Project Happiness. What a great job.
Right up your alley.
Yes, with a loyal following of 2.5 million people. That's a million. She has been covered in O Magazine, NPR, and HuffPost as the producer of an award-winning documentary on the nature of happiness. She facilitated interviews with George Lucas, Richard Gere, and neuroscientist Richard Davidson. Her best-selling book on happiness became the basis for a curriculum in over 120 countries worldwide. She has worked with first ladies, ministers of education, and major thought leaders. For nearly a decade, she has served as a board member of the Dalai Lama Foundation and is on the board of the United Nations sanctioned International Day of Happiness. Randy, a master in NLP, is a sought after international speaker on the topics of happiness, habits, preventative wellness, and emotional resilience. So she has a brand new book out, and that's what we're going to talk about. And I love this topic. It's called Emotional Advantage, Embracing All Your Feelings to Create a Life You Love. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
I would love to know, and I always like to start out in this because we live in a time where I believe that positive thinking is powerful and important, but has been taken to an extreme where we invalidate and hide our genuine emotions, and I don't think it's happy or healthy. And I'm guessing that
is... I think that is a fantastic insight right then and there, because when this, you know, this study of happiness, the science of happiness started coming in about 10 years ago, it was a brand new thing and everyone was all excited about it. But recently there's been a bit of a pushback that people are saying, oh, you know, you're looking at life through rose-colored glasses, or, you know, happiness it could be like seen as superficial or just pleasure and stuff like that. But the way that I personally define it is so, so much more. I mean, I see happiness as an umbrella that covers, you know, all the aspects of living life fully, like not only joy and gratitude, but compassion, connection, our physical wellness, our mental fitness, generosity, purpose, even grace. You know, it's every level of how we operate in order to live a full life, and it's what gives us emotional resiliency when times, as they will, get tough.
And they do. And in all of our lives, it doesn't mean we're bad. It doesn't mean we're being punished. It's just part of life. It's part of growth. But we're in a time where it's wonderful that, you know, you see all these sayings and positive affirmations. And I love all of that. If first you are able to accept all of your emotions, because what happens is you have a negative emotion like anger or sadness. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to feel like that. What's wrong with me? And then you pile on the judgment of it, right? So it amplifies it.
Right, right. I'm anxious because I'm feeling anxious. Right. I'm angry because I'm feeling angry. It's not supposed to be like this.
I know, and it gets worse. And there's a quote in your book from Susan David that you put in here, and that says, research now shows that the radical acceptance of all of our emotions, even the difficult and messy ones, is the cornerstone to resilience, thriving, and true authentic happiness. And this is the basis of your book. So if you could, Randy, give us a little backstory. Like, how did you come to discover this and then want to write about it?
Well, you know, the whole happiness journey started when I was sitting across the kitchen table with my teenager, who said to me, Mom, I'm stressed out. I want to be happy, and I don't know how. So then you can imagine my whole world kind of cracked open, and I devoted all my energy to finding these resources. And I would pursue the happiness full on, you know, all the science, mindfulness, neuroscience, you know, positive psychology. But recently on the Facebook Lives that we do, more and more people have been asking me about what to do with anger, what to do when fear takes over, anxiety, sadness, guilt, you know, all these things which are part of life. So, you know, I personally have always wanted to, you know, live on the happy side, or else I be the one that, you know, we got this, you know. But I'm laughing because in a sense I was kind of avoiding my own shadow side in a way. So this book was an opportunity to just delve in and look at these, a deep, deep look at all these emotions and discover how each one carries a gift.
Well, I think each one, this is Jana, by the way, I am really resonating with what you're saying, because I think I live a very stressful life.
And you think?
Yeah, I do.
Join the humanity.
She's an attorney.
I thought I was the only one. No, I'm only kidding. Everybody lives these stressful lives, but I get what you're saying is really making me think, because I ride this line between I feel myself getting emotional, I feel myself getting angry, and I think most of my emotions are probably rooted in fear. Like they say, anger is really rooted in fear of something. I'll say to myself, all right, I don't want to feel this way, so I will purposely like step off that feeling. But until I resolve what's making me feel that way, it comes back.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Yes,
brilliant.
It drives me crazy.
And that's an important message that everyone needs to know. You know, in some ways we do know it, but, you know, either take anger for an example. We, you know, it's either explode or keep calm and carry on and stuff it, suppress it, deny it. This is, I'm going to deal with this later. But we know that that doesn't work. So something that we talk about in the book is name it to tame it. So by identifying how we're feeling, like, okay, I can feel the anger rising. I know what's triggering me. And I know that I have some choices in this situation. So, okay, what am I going to do? Maybe the choice is not to deal with it right at the moment, or not to blow up at your boss. That's not going to exactly get you what you want. But just by identifying it, we can distance ourselves from that anger turning from a spark into a raging flame and taking us over. You know how people say my brain has been hijacked? So it gives us some choices. But that doesn't mean we should stuff it and deny it and not deal with it, but just on our own terms.
I think all emotions need to be processed.
Beautiful.
Rather than suppressed, because I don't think they go away. I think they just go, all right, I'm going to go hang out here for a while, and I'm going to go hang out with all the other buddies that you shoved down, and then we're going to like come and revolt one day.
We're going to have a big party.
Yeah, and then you blow up and you wonder what's wrong with you. Well, no, because you just nothing's wrong with you. You're okay. You're human. You just haven't processed it. And your book is designed to help people identify and experience and process them.
You know, for example, like anxiety, it's a wake-up call to make a shift, and fear is there to alert, protect, and help you navigate some impending danger. So everything, guilt, it brings you back to your core values. Everything is there for a reason if we pay attention.
So for starters, stop beating yourself up if you feel sad, if you feel angry.
Definitely.
You're human. Stop judging yourself for it. Just give yourself space for it. I wanted to share with you a story. I think I talked about it on the show a couple of months ago, that I had somebody come do some work in my house, and he ended up stealing something, a personal item from us. And I would think probably 5-10 years ago, I would have been like, okay, well, what's the good that's going to come out of this? And I would like immediately suppress that. And I gave myself, Randy, a day to just feel violated. Like, I didn't freak out over it, but I just let myself sit with that. I was upset. I was angry. I felt hurt. I felt violated. And I didn't try to escape that. I just sat with it for the day and let it be there. And I'm telling you,
and what happened?
The next day, I was completely released from it. Not thrilled that it's gone, but it no longer had any emotional hold over me.
And that guy's in the hospital.
Yeah, I called Jana. No.
No, but that's exactly what we're talking about. That's, you know, everyone says you have to be with your emotions, but we're afraid of that.
Yep.
But what you did, you showed a lot of courage, and courage to feel what you were feeling. And wonder of wonder, it dissipated, you know,
it did.
by itself.
Do you think, Randy, part of the issue is we are concerned that when you're in a negative emotional state, whether it's fear, whether it's anger, whether you're upset, that in that state, you're incapable of processing what's going on to get out of it? I think maybe, because that's sometimes what I think. Like, let's say you're blubbering in the corner over something, it doesn't feel like you're doing what it takes to get to the other side. Is that a misconception?
No, because actually the neuroscience talks about, you know, your amygdala, and we joke about it, having an amygdala moment. That's the, you know, that center in your brain that processes fight, flight, or freeze. And it can just blow up. It can explode, and then you lose contact with your prefrontal cortex that would be the more calming and, you know, organizing. Okay, you can do this and that. But when you're in the throes of an emotional episode, you don't have the connection with that part, that other part of your brain. So, you know, that's why we talk about, if we can be aware of the emotions as they're coming on, you know, that it's just a spark at that point. So then we can, you know, have, okay, this is happening. What are my choices? How can I handle it? Like, for example, in a fight or something like that, you see this coming on, you can say, hey, this is not working. I know it's not going anywhere. I'm going to leave the room, and we can talk later when we're both more calm. So that gives you the options. But when you're in the middle of something, sometimes you have to let yourself, let's say grief, you know, if you are feeling a well of grief, let's say you have lost someone in your life that you loved, you know, that is not, if you're blubbering in a corner, you better let yourself do that. Give yourself the space to do that. We have these emotions for a reason. And, you know, just allow them to express.
So
not to harm yourself or others, of course, but, you know, they need some breathing room.
Healthy expression. So you start by taking the judgment of them away, giving yourself space for them. You suggest one of the first steps, and there's actually neuroscience, I believe, that supports that. By naming the emotion, you're actually engaging a different part of your brain, which settles down the emotion.
Uh-oh. That wouldn't be good for me.
So if you're feeling angry, say I'm feeling pissed off, or I'm feeling angry, like name it, and that takes you down a notch, right?
Yes,
what do you think?
It does.
She's
it does.
I thought you meant actually name them. Like one of mine would be a hole, and the other one would be
name the emotion, not the
head.
Name the emotion we're talking about. Name the emotion. So okay. So somebody's listening right now, and maybe they deal with anxiety, and maybe they deal with prolonged sadness or self doubt, and they're starting to get some beginning, like to say, okay, you're normal, experience it, give it space, name it. What next? How do you begin mining the wisdom that our emotions hold?
Well, it's by asking, what is the message that this emotion is trying to tell me, you know? So, and there are strategies to deal with each and every emotion. So, for example, anxiety, you know, you feel like something is just not right. There's a difference between fear and anxiety. Fear is like there's an imminent danger, but anxiety, it's prolonged, it's vague, you know, you can't quite put your finger on it, but it is a wake-up call to make a shift. So then there's, for example, a breath that we recommend from Dr. Andrew Weil called the 4-7-8 breath. And that's just one of the strategies. So you inhale for 4, you hold your breath for a count of seven, and you do a real slow exhale for a count of eight. And you only are supposed to do that four times. It's that powerful. And over time, as you do that every day, you will notice that your symptoms of anxiety will be greatly reduced, you know?
And it's free, and anybody can do it no matter where you are or what you're
absolutely.
Doing.
Absolutely. Nobody even has to know you're doing it, you know? Each emotion has a message for us. Fear, there is some imminent danger. Pay attention. Don't deny your fear. Like, I tell a story when I was in an elevator, and there was this guy in the elevator, and I just had to go up one floor, so no big deal, but I had this gut feeling that, you know, we've all felt that.
Yep.
Yeah. So I overrode it. I said, it's only one floor. Why should I be rude? You know, I'm just go in and out. What's the big deal? So lo and behold, of course, you know, he moved a little closer. I felt that breath. And luckily, I was getting out the next floor. I would have anyways, believe me. But it was a wake-up call to trust my instincts, you know, and not override them or minimize them, because fear is there for a reason too, but we have to respect it. You know, same with all the emotions. If we give them respect, if we take care of them, they want to take care of us.
That's a really good way to put it, and I love how powerful that is. So not only not judge them, give yourself space for them, and it's not only like, you know, general direction in life that maybe they're going to guide you, but if you hear them and trust them and listen, they could potentially save your life, is what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. 100%.
But then, Randy, shouldn't we also learn how to manage them, like, hypothetically? Let's say
somebody has road rage.
Let's say there's a person with chronic but mild road rage. Or there's a person who, when she gets into a fight with someone who she comes in contact with on a regular basis, maybe the four-letter words fly. And then, like, you know, a little while later, she'll, or he'll, be like, oh, I really shouldn't have let my anger get to me, and I'm really sorry about that. But how do you then, the next time, say, okay, I'm not going to do that again, even though you know you're going to do that again.
And you're asking for a friend.
And I'm asking for a friend. Nobody in this room who I know intimately for my whole life.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all have habits. You know, we all, even anger is a perfect example. We all saw how our parents reacted with one another. We've picked up certain habits, certain patterns, but that doesn't mean that we are a prisoner of them. We can change. We can change the way I have a different intention of reacting a different way. As we're more aware, like when we see the beginning of that anger coming, that's the thing. If we can catch it then it does not have to evolve into the old familiar, oh my God, is this happening again? You know, it doesn't have to be that way, because the more that we practice like a different approach, almost like a chess player, to say, okay, is this going to get me the outcome that I want, this move, or will I decide to make a different move and get a different outcome? We can all do that. And the more we do that, the more we develop those neural pathways in our brain that, and soon enough, it will
easier.
Become automatic. It will become easier to default to that way of acting versus the old way.
I love it.
You always have the power to choose your response.
Yep.
And to take that pause and have that presence to say, okay, I'm reacting here, like I can feel it, I'm getting upset or angry, whatever. Pause for a second. What's the outcome I want here? What are my options? Like, how can I respond in a way that really gets me closer to what I want and not further away? Right. Randy,
yes.
I love your book. I love the concept. We're wrapping up here with Randy Turan. She is the founder of Project Happiness. She has written a book called, a powerful book called Emotional Advantage, Embracing All Your Feelings to Create a Life You Love, with a foreword by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Randy, where can people get your book? Where can they find out more about you and your message?
They can get my book on Amazon. Very easy. It's sold everywhere, but, you know, Amazon is one source, and I'm at randytaran.com. And if they want more happiness stuff, that's projecthappiness.org.
I love it. Randy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
My pleasure. Really fun.
All right. Take care.
All right. Yes. Thank you very much. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol, and we're still not done yet. We've got our third segment on the way, so stick with us. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back once again to Happy Hour here on this Sunday morning with Jonna Spielborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
So after our conversation with our guest there, did any of us find happiness over the break?
I've just found a little bright spot of happiness because I have just decided what I would call this book if I were titling it.
Oh, you love to rename books.
Okay, go ahead.
What would you call it?
What would you rename it?
Would you like me to tell you in advance that you're going to love my name?
I believe I will love your name. So, I love the last name you renamed was something like Enough of That Crap.
Yeah, it was Dr. John's book.
Yeah.
The Synthesis Effect. Okay, so Emotional Advantage. I would call it Embrace Your Inner A-Hole. Thank you.
You know who else
I mean,
would
you're
love
welcome.
That? Our good friend Deborah Hanlon would like that too.
Yeah.
Because she's a firm believer that we do have an inner
A-hole. And it's kind of like a recent theme lately amongst the three of us. Like, we'll text each other and I'm being a jerk right now and I'm okay with it.
Or we ranted them and we'll sign our text, love A-hole.
Yes, we do.
and you know, it's funny that you say that because I have discovered myself recently. I've gotten to the point where every now and then I've just said, you know what? I don't care anymore. I mean, I'm 54 years old. I'm going to be 55 soon. You know, I make very little money. I'm stressed out all the time. The last thing that I am going to concern myself with anymore
is filtering yourself.
Yes, is what people think. You know, so
isn't it liberating though?
Well, I'm not trying to be purposely be an ass. I mean, I'm not going out of my
You're
way.
You're an accidental ass.
It's just you know, I'm just at this point.
That's another title.
Yeah. It's just speak your mind. It just is what it is.
There you go.
You know, somebody asked me an opinion that they think maybe I'm going to water down a little bit or I'm going to be a little passive about it. No, that's not going to happen.
See, you guys don't really understand what you're talking about here because...
Oh, really?
No.
Please,
because
explain.
What you're describing is... All right. So my grandmother is 93. And I think what happens is as we get older... like, you know, there are physical changes, right? Your hair might turn gray. Your skin might get wrinkly. Not if you're me, but other people.
Right,
and,
of course.
And something happens emotionally where the older you get, the less you care about being offensive
or what other people think.
Editing what you're going to say. Like, so my grandmother's in a nursing home. And I was visiting her the other day, and I'm there regularly. Now, here I am. She's 93. And typically, I'll show up either on my way to the office or on my way home from the office. But there's usually the office is involved in my trip, meaning I'm going or coming. And she's never been a fashionista, ever. She, you know, lived on a farm for her whole life. And so I'm there just the other day. And I'm getting ready to leave, and I lean down to give her a kiss on the forehead, and she goes, "Oh, you look very professional." Pause. Today.
Oh, that's
and
great.
I let it go, but you know, but that was, you know, I'm saying to myself, today. It's not like I don't come in my shorts. Like I come like Monday through Friday on my way to the office or something.
So everything was okay until she said today.
Yeah. But she didn't care. Like she probably didn't really even understand that it was not insulting.
And you're not going to flick grandma on the head.
I should have flicked her right in the head.
Now, keep in mind, Jonna.
What?
What I was saying earlier, I am not saying that this doesn't happen to everybody along the way and that for some reason I'm different. I understand.
Oh,
this is
okay.
What happens when you age a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just realizing it for myself a little bit now. It's like, all right, I am at that point. You know, so when I get, you know, a constant barrage of emails of somebody that needs revision after revision after revision for the tiniest of little things, I am eventually just going to send emails back that have no replies. It's just going to be basically, here's your revision. You figure out what I mean by not saying anything. Because if I do say something in here, you're not going to like it. Okay? And that's what I did yesterday. And I have not heard back.
Oh.
Which makes me happy.
Oh, yeah. You solved the problem.
Yes.
Your silence has solved the problem.
At least for the moment.
I am a firm, you know what? I like that. I am a firm believer sometimes that silence says a bigger statement than any words could ever say. And you know, I know they say silence is golden, but I think they mean it in a different way than I mean it right now. Like, silence is one great way to say, you know.
I'm controlling myself.
Whereas I think silence is golden was meant to mean like you can look somebody lovingly in the eyes and you can express that you love them without saying a word. That kind of silence is golden. My kind of silence is a little tarnished.
But using silence can be a power play.
Yes.
It can be very intimidating. I used to have a boss years ago who would do that. And you know, I would say something or, you know, put out an opinion and he would just look at me not say anything. And what I do, made me nervous. I would like keep. It was powerful,
right?
And I was aware he would do it. He was a good boss. Like, don't get me wrong, but yeah.
Oh, how do we get on that subject?
How come I can't hear myself anymore?
We can hear you. I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
So if I can hear you, everybody else.
Maybe
can hear
it's my
you.
Headphones. All right.
Yeah, that could be.
I don't know how we got on this subject, but by the way, I do want to let you know, Carol. It's nice to have you back.
Thank you. Yes. I missed you last week.
We missed you last week.
Had a little family emergency, so.
We did have a very fun guest. It was weird saying hello, Frank and Barry, after Frank and Barry
just
said,
by yourself?
Hello, lady. Because you weren't here. You were not here.
And how was he? He was good?
He was fantastic. He was very engaging. He was very light. He was very fun. But he also, the points he made were spot on.
Really, I mean, great.
And what was his...
His name is Bill Stanton. He is America's Bodyguard. His book is Prepared, Not Scared.
Nice.
My mother went out and bought the book after the show. He's just a good guy to know. Don't you know him personally? Yeah. Yeah.
That is a show that definitely, if you know, you find yourselves wanting to go back and find our old shows, if you go to K104Online.com/happy hour, you'll find the old shows. That one is definitely one that I would recommend because that book is something that can help you.
Yeah. And speaking of old shows, you know, I like to do the social media promotion for our shows and usually take a picture of our guest book jacket or what have you. And because I have I've known Bill Stanton since a million years ago, back when Court TV was first around. Now Court TV is coming back. And this little show called The Abrams Report, Dan Abrams, who's now a big media star, he had a show. So I thought it would be fun to Google me and Bill to see if I could find a screen grab of the two of us from a million years ago. No. So I started looking and looking and looking. I couldn't find a screen grab of the both of us together. But in my Google search, I found a picture of me at some sort of event with a person that I have no idea who it was, but it must have been somebody in media. It was like one of those events. And I am wearing black pantyhose. And it was like being in a time capsule because I used to only wear black pantyhose.
Oh,
now I never wear any pantyhose. Yeah. And I was looking at that picture saying to myself, how I left the house like that?
I used to do the same thing.
At an event like that?
Yeah.
Like, what was I? Yeah.
Even just pantyhose, period.
Blah.
Blah, why did we do that to
ourselves?
Why
did we do that?
I stopped years ago. Saturday nights now, that's it. I just one night a week.
Just one night a week? Just indulge in the pantyhose?
One night a week, that's
there
all.
There ain't no indulgence about it. There's nothing indulging
it's
about
just,
it.
They're just horrible. And there's probably a whole contingent of women who still wear the pantyhose and think it's good to wear the pantyhose. I don't even wear it in the middle of winter. I could be outside in open-toe shoes,
we
no
know
pantyhose.
This. And we know this.
Yeah,
and it's just normal now.
Things get frozen.
Oh, well, yeah.
Wind gusts come up.
You ain't lived till you had that frozen. Let me tell you.
Oh.
That's a whole different...
Hashtag goals.
Exactly.
That's right. Can I just give you one other little thing from... I know we don't have a segment called Oprah's Favorite Things or Jonna's Favorite Things or Carol's Favorite Things.
Yeah.
But if we did,
yeah.
I have to tell you something.
What?
I buy a lot of things on Facebook from those Facebook ads.
Mm-hmm.
None of them have been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Until now.
Oh, what'd you get?
You bought a Winnebago.
No.
Okay.
I bought a conditioner. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're
hair conditioner?
Yep. You're thinking conditioner. Big deal. Like, who cares? It's conditioner. No. Listen to me.
That's exactly what I was thinking, by the way, but go ahead.
It is legit. Hair crack? I'm not kidding.
Is it called hair crack?
No.
That's your name for
it's
it.
It's called
That's
Virtue.
That's a great name.
I know. It's called Virtue. And seriously, it's like, you know when you take a picture of yourself and you use one of those filters and it just makes you look like amazing? This makes your hair look amazing as if you were using one of those filters, but it's your actual
Virtue hair. Virtue hair conditioner.
Virtue hair conditioner.
Sold.
Yeah, I'll send you a picture. Right. So if we ever do have a segment called Our Favorite Things, that's going to be in it.
Yeah, I'm going to add that to the...
And our hair will be shiny as we're sitting behind our cosmos.
It will be. And almost like it'll grow its own halo and like butterflies will be coming out of it because it's that good.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to Google add to list. So I have to, you know, so I've got that down with, you know, Tums toilet paper and paper towels for my next trip. Oh, cat food and litter, by the way, for my next trip to Stop and Shop. I'll put that on the list.
Put your Virtue on there.
I'll put my Virtue on the
don't
list.
Don't forget your Saturday Night pantyhose. Put them on the list.
I will put
on
them
sale.
On the list as well. And candles, obviously, if I'm going to go with the pantyhose.
You need candles. Oh.
Yes.
And a six-pack of Bud. Right?
Bush Light would work for me.
Bush Light?
Hey.
Do they make that anymore?
I'm a poor man. I got to go with a poor man's beer.
Well, what would be your prices? No contest.
If you weren't, if you weren't a poor man, which rich man's beer?
I actually there's a white beer called Allagash that I'm a huge fan of.
Allagash.
I like pretty much any white beer, but but Allagash.
White?
When you want to talk about it, it only comes in 4 packs.
Do you mean wheat?
The white beers, Yes.
Oh. Four packs cost you what?
The 4-pack can cost you as much as a 12-pack of Busch Light.
But you probably get as drunk as if you drank a 12-pack.
Not so much, but still.
Allagash.
Yeah.
Allagash.
Something.
A wheat beer that he calls a white beer, which I've never heard of a white beer before.
You've never heard them referred to as white beers?
No.
Yeah, well, they are.
And I'm not a beer connoisseur. I'm not a beer drinker, so I don't know. What do I know?
No.
And before we go, by the way, future reference, what is not considered a 911 emergency?
Oh, lots.
What?
When the Taco Bell that you're in runs out of Taco Bell shells and soft tacos.
Somebody called 911
for
that?
Yeah, that's not a 911
call. Let me guess. Alabama.
Close. Louisiana.
Florida. I knew it.
I don't know. I might call 911 for that. Real hungry.
3 o'clock in the morning on a drunken Friday.
All right.
That might be a 911 call.
All right.
It's been Happy Hour again with Jonna Spilborn, Carol Pesci, and myself. Every Sunday morning we do it here on K104 at 7 o'clock. We'll be back again next Sunday with the same. So you all enjoy your week, and we will talk to you then. Take care.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.